UJFM 95.4, dynamically shaping the future.
It's so great to be back at UJFM beautiful studios. We all have to be happy, isn't it?
Yes, of course. And lovely choice, by the way, I must say.
Thank you.
Good morning. It is the fourth edition of the, and the last episode, actually, of the 2023 My VC and I Radio series, where we've had the honor of hosting our Vice Chancellor and Principal here at the UJFM studios, Professor George Letlogo Mpedi. So, if you're still not too familiar with our Vice Chancellor, I'll just give you a brief bio. But yeah, he's known for his contributions in higher education. He's a leader. He's a law professor. He's an esteemed researcher, an author, an advocate for the ethical use of AI. And more importantly, our Vice Chancellor here at the University of Johannesburg. A very good morning, Professor, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for inviting me. As I said, it's always great to spend time with you.
Thanks for coming. So, I don't even know where to start. It's been such a while. So let's talk sports. Yes, rugby. Did you watch our semis, our semi-final?
I did. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. I mean, when you know, we were like 6-0, my wife was like, hey, it's not going well. I said, no. You know, they will catch up. We will catch up, you know. And the last part was really, oh, God.
It was daunting. How many cups of tea did you need in that last 20 minutes?
You know, I love tea, and when I drink tea at home, I take the biggest cup, you know. So like, I had three of those, you know. But at some point, my tea was like iced tea because I forgot to drink, you know, just watching. But we are proud of our boys, you know. I mean, they showed great character and determination. They never die spirit of South Africa. And UJ, of course.
And speaking of UJ, okay, before we get into that, would you like to predict the final? Maybe what do you think the score is going to look like when we go against the All Blacks?
Yeah, look, I would have won a lot if I was good at predicting the numbers. But I think the score will be very low. I think it's going to be an intense game. You won't get like 100-0 or 70 because both teams are strong.
True.
I think it will be a low score. And I think it's going to be a tough match, but the Springboks are going to prevail over the All Blacks.
Of course.
I mean the way they are playing, I mean, our guys really are amazing, you know. They're special. I'm sure the All Blacks are shaking in their boots
right now. I'm certain of that too. And of course, we are all just rooting behind our boys, hoping that they bring this one home. So, still sticking to sports, UJ had a future walk that you were a part of. I saw you there in your tracksuit. I love it. You know, I love that when UJ does things, you're also there, taking part, not just on the sidelines watching, but actually in the action. So how was that for you?
It was amazing. I'll tell you, I mean, my role, you know, as a vice chancellor, but most importantly, as an employee of UJ, it's not just about the salary, you know. People who work for UJ will tell you it's more than just being an employee of UJ. You want to be involved in everything, you know. I greeted one man, one of our security guys on that day, and said, how are you doing today? He said, I have got no reason not to be happy. I work for UJ. So we lead from the front. I really enjoyed it. I'm still of a view that it's a good initiative. I spoke to our sports colleagues that next year we should do it twice, you know. Once. During the first semester and then again during the second semester. Yeah, I did 8Ks.
Cramps?
Yeah. No, I was fine. I mean, after that, I went home, freshened up, packed my bags and traveled, you know, because I had commitments in the UK.
Listen to that.
Yeah, I was okay. I slept like a baby on the aeroplane.
Some of us do 5Ks and will be complaining for 3 days.
So yesterday, I walked for 10Ks. So 8 is nothing, you know.
At this point, I just feel like you're trying to make fun of us, but that's okay. Health is wealth.
Health is wealth. Look, I mean, leading this university. Leading this university, you have to be fit, you know, and you have to be sharp. And staying healthy, you know, active is one of the ways, you know. People meditate. I forget to meditate, so I walk and do these things, and they keep me sharp, you know.
I like that. Tekofatso, do you still go to gym? This is not about me. This is about prof. Please.
No. Look.
I thought I heard health as wealth somewhere that side.
It's true. You know, talking about the gym, I mean, my wife took me, you know, to this gym and to sign up. And I walked around. They were showing me around. I see these guys, you know, I think they're on steroids. The way they were pumping. They were pumping those irons and they're looking at me, breathing. And I said, I'm not coming back. I felt like less a man, you know, because I'm not like this massive guy. You know, I didn't go back. Walking is okay.
That's not normal. Trust me, that is not. When you see all that muscle, it's intimidating and scary. It's not normal. Okay, so almost 8 to 9 months as vice chancellor here at the University of Johannesburg.
Right, yeah.
How has the journey been?
Wow, it has been amazing. I mean, we've got amazing staff at UJ and students and stakeholders, you know, all the stakeholders of UJ, you know, our sponsors. They've shown me great love, you know, because you can't lead this university alone. You need this teamwork, and people have been supportive. You know, our partners locally and abroad, you know, have come to the party. So it has been an exciting journey. Mm. And really, I couldn't have wished for a better start of my vice chancellorship. And I'm excited and I'm looking forward to more great things that we are going to do. I mean, it's like 8 months, you know, since I've been on the job. But if you look at what we have achieved together, you think that, hey, we've been together for like 10 years, you know. So we're going to continue to build on that and take UJ forward.
Mm. And Prof, you've been traveling a lot lately. Is that something new? Is it a new adjustment that you've had to sort of adjust to? How has that been? Because I've noticed you've been out of the country a lot.
Yeah, look, I'm a traveler. I believe I'm a well-traveled man. And as an internationally acclaimed researcher, I would go to conferences. I would be involved in projects. But the last few months were not normal because there were so many things back to back that had to be done, you know, to advance UJ's interests. So, yeah, but I'm glad I survived it. You know, I'm a vice chancellor of the Great University of Johannesburg. And through that, I play certain leadership roles, you know. For example, I'm the vice president for Africa of the International Association of University Presidents. So you combine also those international commitments and UJ commitments. But what I like is that they converge at some point, you know, because they elevate UJ. So it was tough, but I survived.
I'm glad. So the 15th of November, it's
That's
a special
right.
date because we're launching a special book.
Yeah.
So the title, the title, I was just like, okay, this is definitely special. From the Baobab to the Mosquito. Can we please know more about that? And the title, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm well known, you know, for my research in my area of specialization, but people don't know that I've got this passion, you know, for sharing my thoughts about leadership and so on, you know. And the book started, you know, some years ago when I was dean of the Faculty of Law at UJ. I realized one thing, you know, as a dean, you give lots of speeches, you know.
Yes.
And I realized that people tend to pay more attention when I would bring in relevant African sayings. And one of my former colleagues said, hey, write a list of these sayings. I love them, you know.
Mm.
And I said, no, instead of giving you a list, I'm going to write a book and you will get a copy. But I never got to it. And I'm glad I managed to write this book and it's coming out on the 15th. We'll be launching it. If I can tell you the story behind that, I was not sure if people will embrace this, you know, because I was invited to give a leadership talk, you know, and I said, what will I talk about? And I talked about leadership lessons. And we engaged for 2 hours with people from all over the continent, you know, Nigeria and so on. Mm-hmm. And I said, let me test the waters by writing an op-ed. I published in the Daily Maverick. The feedback was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the publisher, I was planning to contact the publisher on Monday because you don't write to people about these things on a Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on Friday, I got a LinkedIn a message from the publisher saying, hey, I've been looking for someone to write such a book.
Mm.
And then, as they say, the rest is history. Now, you're wondering from the Baobab to the Mosquito.
Yes.
That is the short part of it because it continues by saying, Rethinking Leadership Through African Things. Yeah. Mm. Now, the baobab, I love baobab trees. They are amazing, resilient, and so on. Yes. So there is an African saying that wisdom, and there's a chapter there on wisdom. It says wisdom is like a baobab tree. You can't embrace it alone. Deep, ne? Wow. And mosquito, there is one of my favorite sayings. It says, if you think you are too small to make a difference, you have not spent a night with a mosquito. You know, one mosquito can terrorize you. You know, yeah. I mean, my village where I come from is so hot. That if there is just one mosquito, you cover yourself with a blanket, then it's hot. You take it off, yeah. You won't sleep. You know,
you won't.
Yeah. So that's why from the baobab to the mosquito. But it's really a great book all about leadership. Sometimes I also bring in some of my experiences as a leader. I talk about mentorship, wisdom, and all sorts of things. And really, it's a book to have. Yeah.
So there's I don't know if it's trend or pattern that I'm picking up, but in everything you do, you're very socially centered. You're not about that individualism per se. Did you grow up in a large family?
No. Okay. It depends what is large, you know. Yeah. We were five siblings.
But
when I say it was a large family, there are people tell me you don't know large. You know, some people come from 22. Yeah. No, they come from 10, you know, 12, 22. Yes. You know of 22?
Yes.
No, we were only five, you know, five siblings, yeah. Mm. But we were taught to share at a young age. I mean, my mother instilled, you know, this thing that, look, it's not just about you. If I could tell you a quick story. Remember there was a time, you know, you had this 1 liter of cold drink and then this other company, I won't mention by name, came and introduced 1.25.
Yes.
Oh, you don't know what that meant to me, because it meant that we'd get a little bit more because we'd share that, you know, cold
amongst
drink. Yeah, five siblings. Those occasions is when I wished I was the only child, you know, that I'll drink the whole bottle alone.
And not have to share.
But sharing is caring, as they
say,
you know.
Yeah. It is. Okay, so I want us to speak about this. There's a partnership that I saw online, UJ and UCT coming together with basic package support. I didn't read up much on it, but these are just two great institutions coming together. Can you just tell us about BPSs a bit?
Look, I was just like you, to be honest with you. I didn't know about this thing. And this partnership. And then I remembered the words of my predecessor, Professor Marwala, who'd say, look, UJ is big and there's a lot of great things happening. We can't know everything.
Mm.
And we had a function recently. Where was it? No, I was at one of the functions, you know, and I met one of our colleagues. I said, Prof, do you know about this? Mm. Actually, I was opening a conference last week. And one of my colleagues said, no, we did a video, you know, it involved Orange Farm, is this partnership and so on. And I said, let's put it in my vice chancellor's newsletter so that everybody can know about this.
Mm.
And I'm glad you also got to see about it. It's a great partnership, as you indicated. These are two big institutions. And at the end of the day, it's all about making a difference, which is something we are passionate about.
Mm. Yes. So if you're a young person who's unemployed, who's sitting at home, do check that out. UCT and UJ have partnered together for this basic package support where you at least can enroll for online certificates and the likes. It's very short courses that anyone can do. 25 minutes after 7, we are coming back. The VC still has a lot to say. He recently wrote an interesting article on IVF. I'd like to know a lot about that. And of course, we'll be speaking about Stuff Day. You went all out on Mafikizolo.
Oh, that was special, eh?
We'll be coming back. Don't go anywhere. We've got Summer Walker, Childish Gambino.
UJFM 95.4.
7 minutes after 7 on the clock. Welcome back to our fourth and last episode of the 2023 My VC and I radio series, where we have had the honor of hosting our Vice Chancellor and Principal here at the UJFM studios. We've discussed insightful issues which affect both our students and the South African populace at large. We have laughed, we've enjoyed tea, and today we do it one last time. So, Prof, I did not want to get too academic. Because this is our last sit down of the year. But when I saw this article, I couldn't help it. I had so many questions. So recently you wrote on artificial reproductive technology from an African context. So if you're listening at home, we're talking about artificial insemination, IVF and the likes. Okay, so this shocked me, because mostly it's a thing of as Africans, especially seniors, are these the conversations we're having now? Because I think in the olden days, like, if you spoke about IVF generally, here in Africa, I think it's safe to say about 80% of the older generation would not even know what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, if this is not a conversation that people are having, then I say it's a conversation that we should have, you know? Because people are quick to judge if people can have children for a variety of reasons. So having this artificial reproductive technology helps because, you know, people who can't have children, you know, can be assisted. But the downside is that this is extremely expensive. It's not something that is available for everyone. So I touch on it because, I mean, if you look at challenges, you know, of infertility on the African continent, so the statistics are scary. And this is for a variety of reasons. So I wanted to shine the spotlight on the ethical challenges and also on the legal challenges and call for proper and clear regulatory frameworks. Because not many African countries are talking about these things, you know, because they are seen as personal. So I wrote a lot, you know, on this topic, you know, of artificial reproductive technology. I touched on ethical issues concerning designer babies. It was a big issue. I talked about embryo adoption. Have you heard about embryo adoption? It happened in the US where, you know, embryos that were frozen for 30 years, you know, were used and healthy babies were born. And I mean, the difference between the age difference between the embryos and the mother that gave birth, you know, to the child was 3 years. The mother was three when the embryos were frozen. So there are all sorts of issues, and I talked about this in South Africa. I gave public lectures also in Ghana, and the interest is huge. I also talked about issues such as sperm donation, where, you know, people go around donating without, you know, being clearly regulated. That can lead to siblings getting married to each other. So this topic is huge. Actually, I'm working on a book to cover this area. There's so much interest, and we need to educate our people.
We actually covered a story like that for What in the World. I forgot which country it was, where someone was just, he had kids all over the country.
Yeah, no, there were like about 500 children. Not,
yeah, he's a Dutch guy. Actually, like, I touched on the guy.
Oh, yes.
The court said to him, if he fathers more children, he will be charged an equivalent of 2 million per child. And apparently, he was recently in Kenya. The guy is donating everywhere.
So now he wants to start, oh my gosh.
He's all over the place. You know, so yeah, he was sued by one of the ladies that had two children born that where she used to this gentleman's you know, semen,
yes,
and then said, look, if this guy is going around fathering, and this is the known, there could be more, and says there's this risk. So she went to court, and I'm glad the court found
imagine
that,
having 500 siblings,
that you don't know. And you know, it's not only here. I was in Ghana, and I heard that young students, you know, are selling their eggs. They are selling
even
left,
in
right, and center. Left, right, and center. And then I joked when I was there. I said, look, if I was a child of a particular parent who studied, you know, in this city at a particular period, I wouldn't date, you know, locally. I would go to neighboring countries because you could end up marrying your sibling. And it's for money, ne?
Yes,
it is for money.
Yeah, and apparently in the States, they pay quite well.
How did you know?
Just saying.
Okay.
So we normally or usually have our staff day annually around the September, around September. And this year, UJ went all out getting Mafigizolo, the big guns, to perform. How was that experience?
Oh, it was amazing.
Did you decide to go to Mafigizolo?
No. I was taken by surprise, actually. You know, when I learned closer to the event that they will be performing, I mean, they're amazing.
They are.
I love their music, you know. So I listened to it when I was praying. They performed my favorites, and then they performed, you know, I mean, all of them. So it was really amazing.
That's great. Next year, Beyonce?
I don't know. It's outside of my control. We let our transformation office do their thing, but they always bring interesting artists.
Well, transformation office, if you're listening, just a suggestion. Nothing much. Okay, so going into the academic side of things, so an article that I recently read was actually speaking about UJ's contribution, saying that they're the largest contributor of African students to the accounting profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, that's a huge achievement.
It is.
So yes, congratulations to you and the university.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you sustain that? How do you make sure that you actually account for all of that?
Yeah. Remember, I mean, this is not the first time. This is something that UJ has been doing consistently over many, many years. And we're going to continue to do that. We work closely with our colleagues at the School of Accountancy, and to support them as best as we can. They come forward with proposals in terms of how we can best support our students, and the university has been able to support. I'll give you an example. Before they write, you know, their board exams, many students, you know, spend time in December studying, so we do provide accommodation during the December holidays.
Yes.
I mean, we even take the students by bus and give them, you know, lunch packs to go to the centers where they are writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad. I mean, if you get 85-87% pass out of 500 is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, you know, I don't want to mention people by names, they they climb, you know, and sing at the top of their voices saying, look, we got 100% pass rate, but you look, it's 99 students that are carefully chosen, representing largely one particular group.
No,
I mean, we're a diverse country, and we are proud of the contribution that we are making, and it's being recognized.
It is, and we are indeed proud to be a part of such an institution.
Yeah.
I know you're running out of time, so I'm going to have to wrap it up.
Yes.
Last month, you went to Belgium, and you quoted Bob Marley.
Yeah.
You said, in this bright future, we cannot forget our past.
Yeah.
Is it someone you grew up listening to? I mean, what a choice there.
Look, I love music, and I listen to all types of music. Reggae is one of them. I mean, I remember going through difficult times as a poor student, you know. You know, songs...
Ray doesn't like that word, poor.
Poor is poor. You can't sugarcoat it.
No, it was in context.
Babe. Okay. It's not like I was dead poor. But, you know, there were things that I wanted, you know, that I couldn't afford. But anyway, so I would listen to Bob Marley's song, you know, like, don't worry
about a thing.
You know?
Because every little thing is going to be all right.
So. Yeah, you know. And when I was in love, you know, when I met my wife, you know, I would sing, you know, some of Mali's nice
woman, no cry.
You know? So it's something, you know, music that is evergreen. Bob Marley's, I mean, music,
timeless.
Another great reggae stars, evergreen.
Oh, Prof, thank you so much for joining us. I really wish it didn't have to end, but yeah, it has to. Thank you so much for joining us for the My VCNR radio series.
Thank you.
Here on UJFM. Catch us again in 2024 as we continue to get to know our Vice Chancellor and Principal, Professor Letloga Mbedi. Thank you so much, Prof.
Thank you.
And I think I say this for the entire institution when I say all excellence is observed.
All excellence is observed.
Thank
at the great
so
University of Johannesburg. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks for having me.
This is our December track. This is what we're playing for you. It's Lala Tukzin, Iplan, it's got Zaba and Sykes. If you don't have this on your playlist, we'll definitely hook you up.
Peace with you.